Let's pray. God, we thank you for this moment of preaching. Thank you for the manifestation of your presence and your power as we lifted you in praise. And now, God, be with us in and through your word. Your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers and sets free. Be with us, God, in your word, that we might see you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. For our time together this morning, I want to preach on this subject: recall, reflect, and rejoice. Recall, reflect, and rejoice. Has it really been 9 years? I must be having fun because time has flown. I thank God for matching me and my family with the Jerusalem Baptist Church. God has certainly blessed our union. We've grown together. It's the Lord's doing. Evidence of God's love for us individually and collectively. So many had written us off before we'd even begun. You remember Jerusalem was slated for gentrification. I'd been dismissed as a musician and a church administrator. Jerusalem was headed for the real estate auction block. That's what they were saying. I would be relegated to writing songs and directing choirs and building other pastors' ministries, but God had other plans for us. God had greater plans for us. Plans, as Jeremiah reminds us, plans to help and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And today, some 9 years later, we gather in the light of that hope, looking forward to the future. We are on our way to a decade of partnership. And all that may be said of where we have been and where we are and where we are headed is God did it. God is at work in the all things, making them work together for our good. As I wrestled with God for a word on this Sunday, this special anniversary Sunday, I was reminded of this passage of Scripture, of its call for the people of God, for us to come together and recall and reflect and rejoice over the blessings of God to us. Somehow living through these months of pandemic and pandemonium has made me into a blessing counter. The words of Bishop Walter Hawkins, made famous in the smooth contralto tones of Bishop Yvette Flunder, hit different nowadays. Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases. People are slipping away. Economy's down. People can't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Days like today make me think about the goodness of God. And when I think about the goodness of God, I've just got to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As I've shared from this pulpit on many occasions, thinking and thanking are related concepts. They're related linguistically in English, and they're related practically in that it's impossible to count your blessings and not give thanks to the blesser. Listen, God has allowed us to share together as pastor and people for 9 years. God has blessed us to grow together, to grow closer together, to add new members and to recover old members. God blessed us to reach out in new ministries and weaned us from financial dependency on persons who thought they could tell us what to do with our property while underpaying us for its use. God kept us when neighbors disrespected us as members of the community and tried to misuse the offices of D.C. government against us. God made a way for us to grant scholarships when misguided people tried to hold our scholarship efforts hostage to their limited vision. It was God who held us together when the circle was broken by deaths of those whom we love dearly. And it's God who has helped us find the strength to move forward even in this pandemic. I got to confess that 9 years ago, I came to the pulpit of the Jerusalem Baptist Church excited but afraid. I'd sat in the second chair. I had helped make policy decisions and tackled ministry objectives at other churches for years. I was a church clerk at the age of 22. I managed church budgets and church staff that were millions of dollars and dozens of people larger than Jerusalem. I'd directed choirs with hundreds of voices and been in charge of a cadre of professional musicians, but I'd never pastored. I'd never captained the ship. I wanted to pastor. I believed that God had called me to pastor, but I was scared that I just might not have what it takes. I was 46 years old. I was 6 years out of seminary, where I had graduated at the top of my class, but no church wanted me. Literally, I had been rejected by dozens of churches. Some of y'all know that I was even rejected here at Jerusalem. But God, there we were 9 years ago. And now look at what the Lord has done. I can relate to the psalmist as he writes, "Now I know that the Lord saves those whom the Lord calls." The Lord saved us, pastor and people. And here we are together 9 years later, together and better for it. That's a good place to shout, y'all, right there. Because that's what the psalmist is trying to get us to see in the morning's text. Look at it with me one more time right there in Psalms 20. He says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They bow down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright." You see, the psalmist is reminding us that along life's journey, we ought to take time to consider God's goodness, how the Lord has kept us and blessed us and answered our prayers. We ought to recall what the Lord has done, reflect on our journey, and rejoice over what God has done for us. I'm telling you, it's in the text. Recall, that's how verse 6 opens for us. Recall, "Now I know that the Lord saves." We ought to recall what the Lord has done for us. Reflect, that's verses 7 and 8. They call for us to consider, to think on, to reflect on what we've experienced, both in terms of what's happened to other folk. Some trust in horses and chariots, but they're bowed down and fallen. And also what God has done for us. We will remember the name of the Lord. We have risen and stand upright. That ought to cause us to rejoice. Come on, explore this text with me as we celebrate God's blessing on this special occasion and in our everyday lives. You see, the journey to rejoicing over the blessings of God begins with us asking this question of ourselves. What do I know about God? Hear the words of the psalmist in the morning's text. He says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed." Listen, I understand what the psalmist is talking about here. I may not know much, but one thing I know is that the Lord makes a way for those whom the Lord has called to serve him. That's what the psalmist is trying to get at when he says to us, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. God is there to help those who put their faith and trust in God. That's exactly what the Lord did for us as pastor and people. He made a way for us. We prayed and God heard. We prayed and God brought us together. And some 9 years later, we ought to be able to shout, now I know. Yeah, that's a good reason to thank God. The Lord answered our prayers. Just think about it. And remember, as you're thinking about it, that the root word from which we get both the words think and thank come from a German word which really means to know. That's the question, really. What do we know about God? We know God answers prayer. We know that if we call on the Lord, he'll meet our need. How do we know? Because we have been made witnesses. We've seen God work. I dare you to think about it. Margaret DeRoe writes it this way. She says, think about the good things God has done for you. Think of all the trials and tribulations God has brought you through. Think about the long way you've already come. Think and then thank him. Listen, just look back over your life. Has God ever left you hanging? Just think about it. Think about it and you'll thank God. I used to wonder why old folks used to sing and get happy about, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. Let me tell you something, I don't wonder anymore now. Now I know. I know because over and over in my life, I hollered and the Lord heard. I cried out and the Lord came to see about me. Listen, I've lived long enough. I've been through enough. Anybody else got that same testimony? Now I know. I know that I know that I know that the Lord will deliver. The Lord will save. The Lord will set you free. How do I know? Because the Lord saved me. How do I know? Because the Lord kept me. How do I know? Because the Lord healed me. Now I know. I missed it before, but now I got it. How is it that we can come to know what we missed back then? Well, the psalmist is trying to help us in verses 7 and 8 of the text. He says to us, it's a matter of reflecting on your experience. You see, before I missed it because I wasn't really paying attention. I was just cruising along, taking God's blessing for granted. But in verses 7 and 8 of our text, the psalmist reminds us to think intentionally about God's blessings. The psalmist suggests to us that in order to move to the place where we know, we must reflect on what the Lord has done. And we can do this by looking, watch this, at two groups of people. It says we can look at two groups of people. There is them and there is us. It's there in the text. Listen, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. That's them. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's us. See, that's in the text. There is the them who put their trust in horses and chariots. And then, by way of contrast, there is us who remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen, walk with me in the text just a little further. We won't be here much longer. There's them and there's us. And when we take time to reflect on what happened to them and what happened to us, then we can recall what had been obvious from the beginning, but what we missed because we were taking God for granted. See, when we reflect on what happened to them and compare it to what's happened to us, we can join with the psalmist and shout, now I know. I know that the Lord is at work. Just look at what the Lord has done for us. Consider what the Lord has done for us. Reflection calls for us to pause and think about the practical effect of God's blessings. In verse 8, the psalmist points out that for them, those who put their trust in horses and chariots, those for that time and place and culture, those who put their trust in symbols of power and status in the world. The move of God, the psalmist said, has left them bowed down and fallen. Whereas for us, those who have put our trust in the Lord, the move of God has caused us to arise and stand upright. Because of God, we are blessed in the city and in the field, blessed going out and coming in, blessed on the right hand and on the left. We move from victory to victory. DJ Khaled said it like this: all I do is win. See, we are made more than conquerors, and even when we are down, we can't be counted out. Bruised and battered, but not broken. Perplexed, but not in despair. Cast down, but not destroyed. Persecuted, but not forsaken, because God is on our side. That's what the psalmist wants us to do. Reflect on them versus us. The folk who thought they had it all. Folks who had horses and chariots. The folk who thought they could do it on their own because they had the right resources. Where are they now? The text says that they are bent over and fallen under the weight of the world. But how the blessings of God worked out for us? Well, when we look back and see where we've come from, we can see that God has caused us to rise and stand upright. Reflect on what God has done. Hasn't He always made a way for you to move forward? Yes. Hasn't God always brought you through? Didn't the Lord prepare a table in the presence of your enemies? Yes. Supplied you with everything you needed and most of the things you wanted? The storms have raged, the winds have blown, and through it all, you and I are still standing upright. I dare you to reflect, to count your blessings, to name them one by one. Can I be transparent? I've been through some stuff and the Lord kept me in it, brought me out of it, and I'm still standing. And since I'm standing, I might as well give God the praise. Come here, Bishop Hawkins. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I've risen and I'm standing. I got up from the last place that the devil tried to take me down. I've risen, and by God's grace, I'm standing. And listen, watch the text. Risen and standing, that's not some minor detail in the text. Understood in the larger context of Old Testament scripture, standing is the quintessential position for praise. See, one cannot praise until one rises up and stands. Nowhere in the Bible will you find any instance of anyone praising God from a seated or lying down position. Even those who kneel in worship had to stand up to praise God. For you see, to praise God is to stand in God's presence, to stand before the Lord as a testament to God's strength made perfect in our weakness. It's because the Lord has kept us standing upright in the challenges of life that we ought to give God praise. That's what the psalmist is trying to get us to see as he exhorts, we will remember the name of our Lord. Remember now that the psalmist is a poet. That means language is important. And not only does the psalmist remind us that God has already placed us in the position of praise, because we are standing upright, but the psalmist also exhorts us to remember the name of the Lord. And watch this. The psalmist poet is careful that this verb to remember is given to us in a form that implies intense and intentional action. What the psalmist is writing about here is more than just passively remembering the name of the Lord, but what the psalmist intends to convey is this sense that we who have risen and who stand upright ought to make a remembrance of the name of the Lord. In other words, the psalmist says we ought to make a big deal as we remember what God has done. The psalmist is writing to encourage us to throw a praise party. When we consider what God has done, we ought to erupt in a celebratory praise. It's a call to rejoice. That's the point of Psalm 20. Now that I've recalled the truth of God's blessing and reflected on its meaning, I ought to rejoice over what the Lord has done. The psalmist exhorts us, God's anointed, those whom God has delivered. The psalmist encourages us to stand up and give God praise. Stand up and tell of God's goodness. Stand up and celebrate the name of the Lord. the name of the Lord, the God's character, what God has done, who God is, we ought to make a big deal about that. We ought to celebrate Jehovah Jireh, who provides for us. We ought to celebrate Jehovah Nissi, who fights our battles. We ought to celebrate Jehovah Rapha, who heals our bodies. We ought to celebrate Jehovah Shalom, who gives us peace. Somebody ought to praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, my rock. Jesus, my fortress. Jesus, my savior. Jesus, my healer. Jesus, excellent is his name. If you're still standing after all that you've been through, you ought to throw your hands up and throw your head back and make a big deal about the Lord who's seen you through. Seen you through good times and bad. Made a way out of no way. Kept you in COVID. Fed and clothed you. Kept you in your right mind. It's just right to tell God, thank you. He forgives our sins. Thank you. He heals our diseases. Thank you. He redeems our life from destruction. You ought to tell him thank you and make a big deal about it. A big deal from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The sun rises in the east and the sun sets in the west. And east is east and west is west. And never the twain shall meet. So you ought to praise him all the time and praise him everywhere. I will bless the Lord at all times. I feel a breakthrough in this place. You ought to come on and recall, reflect, and rejoice. You ought to come on and give God praise. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. If you're yet standing after all you've been through, if you yet have breath in your body, you ought to join. Let everything that has breath give God praise. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can say, now I know that the Lord saves. Now I know that the Lord heals. Now I know that the Lord keeps. Now I know that the Lord delivers. I have a testimony because the Lord helped me pass the test. Now I know that the Lord saves. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul will make her boast in the Lord, because the Lord has done marvelous things. He keeps doing great things for me. I'll bless him because he keeps right on doing great things. I'll make a big deal. I'll remember the name of the Lord who saved me, the Lord who healed me, the Lord who kept me. I will remember the name of the Lord. They bow down. They bow down and have fallen. But the Lord kept me. I'll give God praise. They bow down and are fallen. But when I reflect on what the Lord has done, I'm standing. I'm standing upright. And while I'm standing, I'll give God praise. I'm going to make a big deal about what the Lord has done, because he's done so much. He's done great things. He's done great things. And I'm going to bless Him. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. He has done great things for me. He's done great things. He's done great things for me. Yes, He has. He's done great things. He's done great things. Oh, He's done. He's done great things for me. He's done great things. Now I know. Yes, He has. He's done great things. I'm gonna be a witness for Him yet. I'm gonna tell it everywhere I go. I'll be a witness. I'll be a witness. I'm gonna be a witness. He'll see you safely through. He will see you safely. I know He will. Safely through, safely through, safely through. He'll see you safely through. Yes, He has done great things. One to come. He's done great things. He's done great things. He's done great things. Listen. It's as easy as ABC. Is there one who would come to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? He's done great things. The greatest thing that the Lord did is gave His life on Calvary for you and for me. This is the opportunity to respond to what the Lord has done by surrendering to Him. Perhaps you're in the sanctuary or online. If you're in the sanctuary, you can come forward now. If you're online, drop a one in the chat. We'll reach out to you to talk with you more about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, about membership in the Lord's church. We'd love to have you here at Jerusalem, and we can help you find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. He's done great things. He's done great. He's done great things. Is there one?